Hey, I'm Savannah, and this is a cold open because I need to let you know that the episode that you're about to enjoy has some discrepancies in not really the audio, but mostly just our voices. There's a couple of sections of the podcast that we recorded kind of early in the morning, and you can definitely tell by our voices that we were pretty tired. So I just wanted to explain that to prepare you that there are certain portions where we sound very different, and I think that we didn't realize at the time how much our voices were affected by how tired we were, and we were also trying to talk a little quieter. So yeah, I just wanted you to be aware of that so you don't think that we were sick or crying. It was just the morning. Enjoy! Hey, I'm Savannah.
And I'm Adi, and we're the Pulidos.
We're here talking about simplifying our life, growing and loving our family, and learning about the world.
And today we're talking about interracial family. Well, hello, welcome. Have a good day.
See you next time.
I don't know why that came out. I wanted to say hello and welcome. Have a good day. No, how are you doing? How is today?
We do hope you're having a good day.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Hope y'all are having a good day today. How are you doing, Savannah?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I don't know. Do we want to talk about what just happened or no?
Yeah, let's talk about that. So this calls for some breaking news.
It's interesting, I guess, because last week our whole episode was about, you know, growing our family.
Yeah.
And now it's the next week and we already have a very different kind of update about like growing our family.
Mm-hmm. No, we're not pregnant.
That we know of.
Yeah, that we know of. But we are getting a kiddo, and it's very exciting. So this is very raw. So yeah. let's talk about this. You get a call from your certifier saying, hey, there's a kid or mm-hmm. kids that need a place for however long, right? Sometimes they do know, sometimes they don't know. And they give you an estimate. They describe things they like and things they like to do and anything. And then from there, he says, call the caseworker.
Yeah.
Now, the caseworker is the person that has a lot better knowledge and information of the kids because they work with them a lot more frequent than the certifier. So we call the caseworker, and the caseworker tells us a lot more information, which was super helpful. Mm-hmm. So then we talked to the caseworker, and after that, we were like, okay, I think we're going to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we said yes.
Yeah. So we just said yes, like what, 30 minutes ago?
Yeah. So yeah, so that's our update.
Yeah.
A current raw update.
Yes. Very, very current.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to give a really brief Project 333 update.
Uh-huh.
It is now day 20.
It is.
And my update is that I have definitely discovered what my favorite shirt is.
Ah.
And it was not what I thought it was. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I have discovered, this is not great podcast material because you can't see what I'm talking about. But I have this one shirt that's like, it's black, it's short sleeves, mm-hmm. but it's not like a t-shirt material. It's like a kind of slightly thicker material, V-neck, long. And it's just like the most cozy shirt.
Mm-hmm,
and like you look at it and you wouldn't think it's the most cozy shirt, but it really is.
Yeah.
And so I've just discovered that's definitely the one that I like reach for the most. So that was a new discovery.
It's good for the V-necks. Come on, everybody. Yes. V-necks for life. I think V-neck is life for sure. Right?
Yeah.
V-necks give you more just air, more just room,
more air,
you know, for the neck to breathe. You got to let the neck breathe.
Wow.
So down with the turtlenecks and down with the collars and up with the V-necks.
Oh my gosh.
Or down with the V-necks, actually. So anyway.
Wow.
I think my favorite shirt right now is this, obviously V-neck gray kind of charcoal color shirt, mm-hmm. and it's very like baggy-ish and really cozy. The material is really great, and there's like some new V-necks that he got me, the same brand from actually that one, like similar to the charcoal V-neck, mm-hmm. similar brand, but it's, I guess, because it's a newer shirt, it's maybe created with different materials. Mm-hmm. And it makes it a little more tight, more fit, kind of more slim fit. I don't like that. So I'm discovering, like, you know, it's been about 20 days. Yeah, 20 days. I'm discovering just my favorite outfit or, like, shirt and stuff. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Good stuff.
It's good. It's a good project. Speaking of Project 333, they give us a little heart on Instagram.
That's true.
Yeah, for no reason, maybe. No.
Well, it wasn't for no reason because I'd been tagging them in like our little outfit updates and stuff.
Yeah.
And today I just got a little reply of a little heart.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's awesome. So yeah. Project 333.
Shout out to you.
Shout out to you. So we're doing your project for the next few months.
So speaking of things that you wear on your body.
Let's talk about my glasses for a minute. Last week on Monday, I went to an eye exam that Savannah scheduled for me. Well, she didn't schedule it for me, but she got all the eye doctor like information and said, here's your options for your next eye doctor that you will do. So I was very supported by Savannah for me to go to the eye doctor.
Well, because you didn't want to.
I did not want to. And I finally do. Right, show up and everything, and the eye exam was awesome. And so then I didn't get any new glasses there. Savannah said, well, we could do this like little subscription, like little program where people send you, like a company sends you a pair of glasses, like maybe, you know, three or four or five, whatever pairs of glasses, try them on, you don't like them, send it back, they'll send you new pairs of glasses. And so Warby Parker, that's the company that you found and mm-hmm. and coordinated and everything through them. So one day, maybe like 3 days after that, after my exam, you come downstairs and you say, I have picked out five glasses for you through this website, through mm-hmm. Warby Parker. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? And yeah, so you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this shipped out to you. And so you're going to try these five pairs of glasses.
Mm-hmm. It's free.
And it's free? Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. So I did not look at these glasses. I had no idea what these glasses were going to look like. But you did it based on what I've said before, like what I like or mm-hmm. my idea of, you know, of glasses and stuff that I would want next.
Yeah.
And they arrived yesterday, and I tried all of them on and put it on our Instagram page and did a poll. We did a poll mm-hmm. Based off like four glasses.
So five glasses came, and one of them was a definite no. Definitely so we just did the poll for like the four other pairs.
Yeah, and people voted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can we look at it now?
Oh, yeah. So the results are in.
Yes.
Because the poll is gone.
Yes.
It's off of the stories. Mm-hmm.
And Savannah has picked out her favorite for me. I am still kind of undecided. So this poll might help me decide.
Okay. So let's see. Here it is. Okay. So the results are in. And unfortunately, or fortunately, there's a tie for first place. There's a tie.
Wow.
So I want to say, first of all, starting from the bottom, that one of the pairs got zero votes. Nobody liked them.
These are the ones, it's kind of hard to describe, but they're kind of these like fashionista-ish like style glasses. They're kind of like shiny looking. They're, imagine like so the round circle lenses, the frame, it's black, but really thick framed. Mm-hmm. And then on the ends, it's kind of like gold, yeah. Plastic gold looking.
Yeah.
And then the tips is black again. Mm-hmm. And then the middle between the frames is gold, right? And then, so that was not my favorite. So no, oh, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, so that one got zero votes. And the next up that got four votes mm-hmm. was for pair number two. That was the one that was clear all around. Everything was clear.
The circular
one? No, they're like more square, but they're like clear. They're like the ones you have now, but then the sides are clear also.
That got only 4 votes?
That got 4 votes, yeah.
Wow, I think that one's my favorite one. So I, if you know me, I wear similar glasses, clear frames, but the ends are blue, like little lighter blue.
Yeah.
Which I don't like, but I do like the idea of wearing the all clear all around. So these are kind of one of my favorite ones.
Okay. Well, they're not that far behind, but the top contenders are, they each got 6 votes.
Wow.
So 6 votes each for the ones that are like the brown tortoise on the top and then the light blue on the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like, so like the top of the frame is like a brown tortoise and then the bottom is a very light blue color that's like almost transparent. Gray. No.
Oh, nice.
And then the other one.
Wait, what about the ends? I mean the sides.
The sides.
More tortoise, right?
They're like that same brown tortoise,
Nice.
And then the other one that got 6 votes was the ones that you didn't really like that you said were like too hipster for you.
Oh.
They're like very thin wire frame that only covers like the top half. So the bottom half, there's no frame.
It's free.
And then the top half is like a really dark navy. It almost looks black.
Yeah, very dark navy. And it's
like wire.
Yeah.
And then the sides are also
kind of like wired.
And
then the ends are leopard print, but tortoise, right?
Like the very end that goes around your ear.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't know why you keep calling them ends, but yeah.
Well, they're the ends, you know?
Kind of.
Anyway,
so those are the results, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm going to have to try them on again. I think those 3 are really good glasses. Going back to that tortoise frame with the ends, those glasses are pretty cool. I actually looked at those types of glasses, like a similar type of glasses, years ago when I was considering getting a different one, different pair. So I like that. And then the clear, all clear, I love that one as well. And as far as that other hipster, like dad looking one, I don't think it's for me. So I'm not sure why people are voting for that one, but it looks cool. I love it.
Yeah.
But I don't think for me. I don't think it's for me.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate everybody who voted. You had about 24 hours to vote. And so thank you. I was so shocked that we got that many of votes. So it's pretty cool.
Anyway, so yeah, we'll update you on which glasses he chooses, if any. You don't have to choose any of them.
The thing about me, as you might know, is that people listening, is I'm very picky and it's hard to commit.
He's extremely picky.
Yeah, it's very hard. If I know, if we were to say, Adi, there's not just 5 options to pick from, but there's like hundreds more, I have to be like, I need to look at the rest.
Which is why I didn't let him pick out the options.
Like, if it was up to me, I would have like a tournament style bracket and put all the glasses in the tournament. I would.
I know.
Sounds kind of fun.
No, it doesn't.
To me.
No. It does not sound fun to me.
I might do that.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. No.
Anyway.
So it's a big commitment because you have to like stare at these frames and put these glasses on. People will have to look at you.
Right.
You know, it's a whole different, it's like getting a haircut. It's like, how do you do it?
True.
Anyway, so we'll keep everybody updated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the catch up. So let's get down to the nitty gritty. Now, today we're talking about interracial families.
Yes.
And that brings us to the question, what is an interracial family?
Yes.
And I would just simply put it as when more than one race is represented in the house, in the family.
So that could look, you know, a few different ways. Like, obviously, we are an interracial couple. So if we, you know, if and when we have bio kids, then they will be like biracial, interracial children, you know, and we would be an interracial family. And then also with, you know, foster care and adoption, then sometimes we're adding, you know, a child into our home that has their own cultural background that might be different than ours, or they might share their culture with one of us, but not the other. So, So when we talk about interracial family, it kind of encompasses all of that.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've had experience with that, having kids, like that I share the same ethnicity as them, or that we don't relate. We can't relate We don't have that similar cultural background.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll be talking about that in a bit. But first, let's talk about our desire for our house.
Yeah.
The moment we had with our certifier, every time we think about this kind of question of like, what's our vision for our house and what does that look like?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, certifier asked us that when we were going through this kind of interview process, getting certified to be foster parents. And he asked, what's your vision for this house? You know?
Yeah.
And I think we put it as, so we said, we would want people, whoever comes through that door, the front door or the back door, to come in and feel like they belong here, right? Regardless of their background or their history or whatever it is. We want people to feel accepted and welcomed here, right? So yeah, so that's our desire for this house. And yeah, I think it was a good start to our family foundation, right?
Yeah, definitely. Basically, in this episode, we want to talk about some of the things that we've learned and some of the things that we are still learning about having an interracial family. And so obviously a couple of weeks ago, we talked about interracial marriage and that is an interracial family.
Yeah.
But we're talking about now beyond just, us as a couple, but
with children
and what an interracial family looks like in that sense of adding children into the conversation.
Yeah.
So the first thing that we'll talk about is our experience. So how we've seen, race impact our kids, and also I think you were going to share a little bit of how that impacted you as a kid.
Yeah, so like going back to that episode a couple of weeks ago, I left that episode with this final thought, and that was that like I do feel at like my most comfortable like level when I'm around strangers that share the same cultural background as mine. And that's true. I think that like I learned that at a very, very young age. Like I grew up in a predominant Latino community and I felt very just at ease.
Yeah.
Like going outside of the house and walking around the neighborhood or going to the store, just seeing just all these strangers and, you know, faces that looked like me.
Yeah.
And who were brown. And so I just kind of want to mention that. And because it was very like obvious once I got to out of Salinas and into a city where there was just a lot of different cultures all around, and I started to realize like, oh yeah, like I really do feel very comfortable at home in Salinas because all these people, like I don't need to know them, I don't need to interact with them, talk to them, whatever. Like as long as I'm around people that look like me, I feel comfortable.
Yeah,
you know. And that's not to say that I will never or cannot feel comfortable or be at my most comfortable level with someone that we don't have that similar culture. Like, that's not true at all.
Right.
Right. But going back to this, in college, I joined a Latino ministry, and that is because I felt comfortable there compared to other like ministries that I was checking out and, you know, and thinking about joining. And I think this one, I just felt comfortable and felt like there was quick just to get to, I don't know, to just meet someone, interact with them, be friends with them very quickly.
Yeah.
Because we had all these like shared experiences.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and like with issues, with problems and share just, a lot of things that we could relate. And so I think that very quickly I realized that like, yes, like this community that I found here, I'm going to stick with that because I found my friends here, you know, and it started with looking the same or enjoying the same things culturally, right? So there's that importance that I want to highlight. Because now when you think about children, kind of it's different, like seeing your kids kind of sometimes like struggle or suffer because there's a lack of shared cultural experience that they might not find with either us or just in general.
Yeah, I think with our kids, we, you know, this is one of those things that like they did kind of prepare us for when we were when we were becoming foster parents. Yeah. And it was very true. Like, we saw it, I think, very quickly, and we've seen it with, you know, multiple of our kids, mm-hmm. to see that, like, them struggling with, like, figuring out their identity. And we've really seen, you know, that impact and seen how important it is for us to, like, be aware of that and to be, like, mm-hmm. culturally and racially, mm-hmm. you know, aware mm-hmm. of, like, where they're coming from, their thoughts, their background, and all of that.
Yeah, I'll share a couple of things. When I was in high school, I struggle a lot with my identity, mm-hmm. and had similar thoughts compared to our kids. Like, hearing them say that, I'm like, oh, that's hard.
Yeah,
I've been there, and I've struggled through that, and so it's very hard. Thinking about, like, a couple of people, like, in entertainment, like, for example, Michael Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. I heard about his story of changing his skin tone, mm-hmm. right? And I thought that was possible, like, for anybody to be able to do. And I didn't know how, though.
Yeah.
I didn't know it involved surgery, right? But mm-hmm. I thought that, well, maybe one day I'm able to do a similar thing, mm-hmm. you know? And another thing, everybody, I'm sure, knows this show, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
So in that show, I didn't know this, but in that show, they fired the actress that plays the mom. Mm. She got replaced by a different person that's lighter skinned.
Oh.
And so I didn't know that as a kid. Mm-hmm. And so I would see these, like, older episodes from the first season, mm-hmm. and then seeing the mom, right? And then the later, like, older episodes, when she was replaced, I had no idea, but I just knew that was the mom. And
yeah.
So I couldn't tell, like, the different, like, just facial, face, yeah. you know, the face and everything. But I'm like, well, that has to be her.
I know, as a kid, you don't think about that kind of thing.
And so I saw that like, the skin tone has changed, mm-hmm. from, like, a darker skin to a lot lighter,
yeah.
Dark skin. And so I thought that, well, I guess as you get older, you get lighter. Oh. So I thought there was, like, that hope of, like, well, maybe, like, right now I am pretty dark. Maybe as I get older, I would be lighter.
Yeah.
You know?
That makes me really sad to yeah. hear that you know, had those thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And I thought they were, like, just, it was a possibility, mm-hmm. because I was very naive. I did not know that with, like, you know, like, the plastic surgery, you could change your skin tone, or by like firing a different person, you and being replaced by a lighter person. And I think those intentions were not, like, just, I don't know, you know,
but it wasn't just, like, a coincidence.
It wasn't just yeah. a coincidence. I don't know, you know? And so that I was affected in that way,
yeah.
you know, it was very hard. And I did ask someone about, like, the whole Michael Jackson thing. I'm like, hey, how do you do this? So it is hard.
Yeah. I feel like crying. Another way that we've seen race impact our kids has been seeing, like, being in public and having people kind of, like, stereotype them or make mm-hmm. assumptions about them. And so there's a couple times that we've experienced that. And also, even when people haven't made comments, mm-hmm. just sort of wondering, like, okay, what are people thinking about us as a family, you know, when they yeah. see us together?
Yeah.
But yeah. Do you want to talk about the thing at Winco?
Yeah. So, one day all of us, our three kids that we had, that they're brown, right? Mm-hmm. And as we went at Winco and get some groceries and stuff, and the kids and I were waiting for you to finish paying and everything.
Yeah.
And then
actually, I was waiting for them to get me my free turkey.
Oh,
which is kind of funny because this story has to do with Thanksgiving.
Yes, it was around the Thanksgiving time, so
yeah.
it was before Thanksgiving. And so we're just waiting and waiting. And then an older gentleman, a white older man, comes up to me and says, he asks, how do you say happy Thanksgiving in Spanish? To, like, pointing to, gesturing to my kids. And I was like, oh, well, like, they don't speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. is like still like, how do you say have a happy Thanksgiving in Spanish? I'm like, okay. So I told him like, this is how you say it word for word. Mm-hmm. And then he said it to the kids and they were like, okay. Like they didn't really have a reaction.
Yeah.
And then he left. And I was left just thinking like, this was weird. Mm-hmm. And that, I don't think it was okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, I'm not sure if our kids were oblivious to the whole thing, but mm-hmm. like, I think that stuff like that is just, I don't think it's okay to assume something.
Right.
You know, like there was no reason for him to think that except for just the way they looked. You mm-hmm. know, they look like, I guess they could speak Spanish based on the skin.
Yeah.
That's what he was thinking, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that happened.
Yeah. I think it's like, I don't know. It's just kind of, there's no reason, you know, for him to bring that up, like to you, even if it was just you, you know, yeah. or to the kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it seems like by saying something like that, it's just sort of pointing out like, oh, I noticed that you are different. Like mm-hmm. I'm noticing that you're different from me.
Yeah.
And I want to like sort of, I want to see if you like fit with this stereotype that mm-hmm. I have of you in my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I would have dealt with that a lot different if it was, that were to happen now. Mm-hmm. And I would have been like, no, like I'm not going to translate it because there's no reason. Because
yeah.
I don't think that it was about like him delivering the message in Spanish for them to like understand it once he knew that like they wouldn't be able to understand what he was saying. Mm-hmm. Right. If he wanted to deliver the message of like, hey, have a happy like Thanksgiving holiday, he would have said it like in English because he knew that they speak English.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have another one.
Oh, yeah. And then another time, actually, I mean, fairly similar thing. I was walking home. I was walking the kids home from school and this older Latino man just started asking them like a question in Spanish and they didn't say anything. And then he asked him again, they didn't say anything. And I was about to like, you know, just tell him in Spanish that they don't speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. And then, but then after they didn't respond twice, then he asked them the same question in English.
Yeah.
And he was just asking them something about school. And it, you know, in that instance, like it was different, I think, because he appeared to be Latino and like he appeared to be a Spanish speaker himself. So, you know, yeah. I think it was different than like a white person coming up to, you know, to you guys. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of in that moment just like felt for our kids and I felt like I was getting a glimpse into like their future.
Yeah.
And like this is something that they'll probably deal with like their whole lives.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it goes back to the whole like, you know, you're not Mexican enough for the Mexicans, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you have this like skin tone that makes people think, oh, you're supposed to speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And, so I was just kind of like, oh, I just kind of felt for them, like, you know, I hope that as I get older, this doesn't become a source of like just more identity struggles and stuff for them.
Yeah. I dealt with that stuff, as a kid and, you know, not just in my childhood, but, having people come up to me and speak, you know, Spanish to me, mm-hmm. assuming that I did, and luckily I did, right?
Yeah.
But I think that it is hard for people like that are brown. They have maybe some Latino in them, but they don't speak Spanish, and people would assume that they do based on what they look like.
Yeah.
So it is very hard because there's that constant, like, assumption, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to keep on repeating that phrase of like, well, I don't speak Spanish, you know, and then I think there might be some shame there when people say like, yeah, you know, my dad or my mom is from Latino like heritage, but I wasn't raised to speak Spanish, mm-hmm. so I didn't.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are a couple of ways that like how stuff like this impacts our kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about representation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously we've seen the way that this impacts kids and other kids.
Me?
I don't know what I'm talking about. But one thing that, you know, we've seen how important it is representation. Mm-hmm. And when we, again, going back to when we were first becoming foster parents, when we were taking our class, they talked about, you know, think about like your home and think about like the books on your shelves, the toys that you have, you know, the media that you take in, and think about whether if a child who comes into your home and they're from a, they have a different race or cultural background, are they going to see themselves represented in, you know, in your home and in like those things?
Yeah.
And that's something that I think is, you know, a really big deal. And we, we've seen that with our own kids and seen, you know, one of our kids even point out just completely, you know, on her own, like, oh, you know, this character on TV, like she has the same skin color as me.
Totally.
Yeah. And just how important and how powerful that really is.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's very important to have, like these books or for example, right. Depict different, cultural, backgrounds and entities of people, and because like for us, like we don't know who's gonna enter through the front or the back door. so I think that's very important. So just we want to be mindful of that. Also, when we like would have movie nights and pick some movies from Disney Plus, we would be also just intentionally like thinking about, okay, what are some good movies to for these, like, you know, brown kids, or for them to watch. And
I think we obviously want to listen to, like, okay, well, what do you guys want to watch? What do you, you know, and we do care about obviously their opinions, but I think it, you know, it's good for us to also make those suggestions of like, okay, let's watch, you know, Doc McStuffins, or let's watch what's that one?
Elena?
Yeah, that's what it is. Elena or Elena of Avonlea or something.
Yeah.
Not Avonlea. But anyway, and it is really, really good to see that I think Disney in particular is trying to do better. You know, like there's still so much room to grow, but I think that they are trying to do better with having more representation, especially for those kids that are, you know, so young. And like that is just a very big deal for them to be able to see themselves in their favorite shows, you know.
Yeah, and that is a good segue to my little topic that I want to talk about, and that is Marvel.
Yeah.
Comics, superheroes, right? And it's a huge part of social media, pop culture nowadays. It's been running for about 10 years. It's amazing to see the impact of these movies in people and kids. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about these kids. I think that they are doing a better job now, trying to have different people of color and minorities and talk about different cultures. And for example, we have Shang-Chi coming out pretty soon in theaters. And that's pretty cool to see Asian culture and the Asian American culture be represented.
Yeah.
And it's pretty awesome. Like I've mentioned last week that I'm teaching on art school. I'm teaching Marvel classes.
Yeah.
And we're talking about different like movies coming out, movies that to look forward to and everything. And it's been pretty cool to see children from different cultures, and both girls and boys. And it's pretty cool to see these kids be hyped about these movies and talk about like their favorite superhero, like having a black kid talking about like Black Panther is like his favorite superhero, and talking about how enthusiastic they are about the upcoming Shang-Chi movie. And it's pretty cool. So like I do emphasize, like, yeah, this is pretty awesome stuff, and let's like focus and take some time talking about all these things, and here's why this movie is gonna be awesome and stuff. And like I think that we should like have this like focus on like, yeah, like this is like this new superhero, and like, and it's awesome, and it's cool to see kids have now a superhero. And also for females, for girls to have like people like Captain Marvel or Black Widow to be like, those are girls and I'm a girl, so I could be a superhero too. And also just to close it off, like having the mantle change of the Captain America from Steve Rogers to Sam Wilson, who is a played by a black actor. Like, I think that is crucial, and I think it's very important to like highlight that he is not just the black Captain America, but he is the Captain America,
yeah,
the new Captain America. And I think that out of all the superheroes you could think of, like when you think about Marvel, you start thinking about like certain like people like Iron Man, Spider-Man, Captain America. Captain America is one of those like top superheroes that you think about. And to have Sam Wilson taking this new mantle, going from the Falcon to Captain America, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And to, I think that is going to be a big imprint on children.
Yeah.
You know, and so like, I don't want to hear about like kids have identity, like struggles like I did, like, you know, going back to those couple of stories I shared, like it is very hard, you know. But I think that it's cool to see people through like entertainment, like in books and stuff and movies, like having these characters being portrayed, having these characters that have different cultures, you know, playing that in awesome roles like Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's very cool. And I think it just made me think about how like, yeah, it's so important. And I think especially like the younger our kids are, like we have so much influence on just what media and what things are like talked about and celebrated and that, and we like get how excited we talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like we talked several episodes ago about Disney and how much we love Disney and how our kids were like, seriously, do we have to watch Disney again? And like they, so, you know, I'm just saying like they notice, you know,
right.
Like they notice what we like and what we are excited about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that's important, you know, if we're excited about like, oh, you know, this person, like they're going to pick up on that and be excited about it too.
Yeah. 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 We will have an episode about Marvel comics, I think, and like color and, you know, just minorities being represented, I think, at one point. Hopefully, because I could go on and on about certain characters and upcoming ones and everything, but
that's good.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, so another thing about representation, of course, is that it has to go beyond just, you know, media and entertainment.
Yeah.
Representation in, I think, a child's personal life is extremely important. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, if you're talking about like your biological children, then you kind of are that for them. Like you are going to naturally share their race and their culture. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, just so there's two things I want to talk about here. Like number one, when we're thinking about our potential future biological children, you know, I think that there's definitely conversations for us to have and that we have started having about our children, about our biological children and, you know, their like racial identity and, you know, they will be like biracial children.
Yeah.
And we talked in the interracial marriage podcast about how, you know, the whole thing that you have felt about like you have to be more Mexican than the Mexicans and more American than the Americans. Yeah. Shout out to Selena again. but, you know, just how will that kind of idea and mentality affect our biological children?
Yeah.
You know, because
that's true.
You know, like we don't know what they're going to look like.
Right.
Like we don't know what their skin tone's going to look like.
Right.
You know, and they're going to be, you know, half Mexican and they're going to be raised by a Mexican parent and a white parent. Mm-hmm. And so just thinking about for them, like, how do we help them navigate like their own culture and being from two different cultures and being raised in the US, but having like a strong, hopefully a strong tie to their Mexican heritage, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's something that we're already like thinking about and talking about as far as like wanting to raise our children in a bilingual household and, you know, how that's important for us and how to navigate that with foster children potentially coming in as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to think about with that. But then on the other hand, if we're talking about children who we don't share a cultural background or racial identity with, that representation is not built in for them. And so we have to, I think, be intentional about creating that for them.
Well put. Yeah, that's true.
And so, and you know, and we did experience that where we saw a child come into our home who we couldn't identify racially in the same way as her. And so one of our responsibilities was to advocate for that representation in her life and a strong, you know, role models and just people around her so that she's not feeling alone and not feeling like she's the other.
Right, right. And going back to that, like, I think that we were aware of that, and like, there has to be those people in kids' lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is well needed.
Yeah. I think it just also causes us or me to kind of like reflect back on sort of just laying like the groundwork of like diversifying, you know, my life when it comes to like the, you know, the media that I'm taking in, the people that I'm seeking out as like, you know, friendships and just, you know, acquaintances, things like that, you know, even thinking about like the church community that we are going to be, that, you know, that we're a part of and things like that. Like that all is laying the groundwork for helping our children to be able to like see themselves reflected in that or see just the value also of other cultures and other races.
Right.
And to just have that be a normal thing for them, you know? So the last thing we want to touch on here is obviously representation. We believe that that's a really important thing. It's a really big deal. But obviously, then, you know, beyond that is just having conversations and having race and racial identity and culture be, you know, part of our conversations and things that we talk to our kids about.
Yeah.
And we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, different ways that we've seen race impact our kids and their kind of struggle with it. And so one thing that we talked to them about a lot was just, you know, this idea that like brown is beautiful. And and that was something that we both, you know, talked to them about a lot.
Yeah.
And so that was something that we made a point to talk about, you know. We also talked about like how I think there was a comment made by one of our kids about sort of like an assumption that like most people are white. Something along those lines. I feel like one of our kids said something about like, oh, you know, like,
oh yeah,
most people being white. And that was kind of an eye opener, I think, for us to realize like, oh, you know, this child is not, is kind of like maybe been just surrounded by lots and lots of white people and hasn't had a lot of that representation in their life. And so that was kind of just a brief little conversation we had of like, actually, you know, no, there's like there's a lot of people out there who have, you know, different color skin, different, you know, bodies, different everything. And, and, you know, just trying to just have those conversations and not like, you know, shy away from it. And then with that, do you want to talk about the whole, the thing with, the gardener?
Yeah. So there was a time when our kids were in the house and kind of on a weekly or biweekly basis, there's some gardeners out there working at our on our like vicinity, and they were doing what they were doing, what gardeners do, and and then our boy, he was like talking. I guess he talked to the gardener, and then he comes to me and is like, "Oh, like I talked to the gardener in English, and he actually does speak English." You know, so there was that assumption that, like, that the gardener, I guess, our son thought that he would only speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that he actually responded in English.
Right.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, and there had been no previous conversation. That was, like, the first thing he said was, oh, and he actually does speak English.
Yeah.
So obviously we could see kind of the assumptions he was
understood.
Making.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, I know what's going on here. So we were both in the room when this happened, when he said this, and I was just kind of looking at you and you were looking at me and I was just thinking like, okay, who should like be the first person who talks, or like, should we both tag team this? Or like, how could we say this? And then just pause right there, because there's been times, I think, when we felt that way. And we actually, as we were preparing for this podcast episode, we were thinking, we actually went over that moment and thinking about like, actually we both thought that the other person would have had a like better influence on our son based on like our background.
Yeah.
And so we both thought that I was the other person that would have had the better, you know, influence. And sometimes that might be the case where like, yeah, maybe Savannah would be benefit from talking to, solely talking to this child. But anyway, so going back to that moment, I was the first one to talk to him, and mm-hmm. we both did at the end, right? But I told him pretty much that, well, like, let's assume that like everybody speaks English. You know, there was no reason for us to think that this person speaks Spanish unless if we hear this person talking Spanish to someone or to, you know, or
yeah,
and you're aware of that, then that's fine mm-hmm. to talk to them in Spanish if you do know Spanish. I just told him like, well, you know, like as far as like you and I, like we're brown skin, right? Like I don't think that if someone would come up to us and start speaking in Spanish, assuming that we speak Spanish, I think that would make us feel different, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that was okay to like bring it back to like, how could he relate to this message?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this bigger like picture. So that's what we said, and you said a couple other stuff similar to that, and
mm-hmm.
and we both recognize that there's different meaning and different value to our kids hearing messages from a white person and from a person of color. Both are really valuable in different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that we would have to kind of look at it and take it case by case, and also just really talk beforehand and like continue to have this like open conversation between us and talk about these like problems and talk about certain issues that have come up and like how could we deal with this, or what if this were to happen, what would we do, and just to be aware, you know, of like there's certain things that would come up, for mm-hmm. example, these little things with people coming up to us or to our kids and speaking Spanish.
Yeah,
it is very hard to look back at those like moments when I struggle with identity.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to those two stories I shared, like they were, in a way, they were like minimal to people that are hearing that, but like to me, it was very like impactful, like
yeah.
in my life, that it really kind of messed me up, right? And there wasn't really a lot of people around me that like I really told that stuff that mm-hmm. I, and there's not a lot of people out there that like told me like otherwise, like, well, that's, there's an issue there, let's work this out, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I would have definitely for sure benefited from sharing those things to someone and having someone like a mentor or a leader that would tell me like, here's what matters and here's like the beauty of like your skin, the beauty of your mm-hmm. identity, right? And then going back to our kids, like hearing certain little things kind of like similar to what I've struggled with, I'm like, oh boy,
yeah.
like, this is... Let's try to work at this, you know, work and get rid of certain narratives that are rooted from like, you know, negativity or,
yeah.
you know, that are not true.
Right.
Yeah. So that's just kind of, as I'm wrapping this, like this story, like I think that, you know, I just want to share that.
Yeah. I think that's really good. And I'm glad you shared that. So that pretty much wraps up kind of the things we wanted to talk about with this.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more, and I think that there's also just a lot more that we're learning, because we obviously mm-hmm. haven't experienced everything and
yeah.
there's so much more for us to learn.
Totally.
Yeah. But we, you know, we really wanted to introduce, you know, the topic of interracial marriage a couple of weeks ago, and then just kind of expand that to how, you know, beyond just the two of us, like
mm-hmm.
what does that look like with kids, and especially, you know, thinking about kids who don't share our race or our
yeah,
culture.
Yeah.
So we would love to hear, as always, like your guys' thoughts, or, you know, if you learned something, or if you have an additional like thought or idea or something
yeah.
On this topic.
Yeah.
We would love to hear it, because a lot of this is just, you know, things that we're kind of thinking about and trying to like navigate and figure out ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I know. Yeah. So there's still those like unanswered questions of like, what do we do with like our biological kids, as far as like, you know, speaking Spanish and having that desire to mm-hmm. teach our kids Spanish, and then like, what would that look like when like a foster kid or adopted kid would come into our house that not being raised that way? Mm-hmm. Like, how could we mesh that together? You know, so it's constantly kind of just thinking about like, how could we restructure if we need to restructure our foundation, our like culture within the house? And because at the end, right, we don't know who's going to come into the house,
right?
With what, like cultural background, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's an ongoing conversation that we will have,
yeah.
You know, that we're having. So, yeah, so I think that pretty much what you said, you know, yeah, just let us know what you all think through like Instagram, Facebook. Just let us know there at the Pulidos. Email us if you want to give us a good, like, you know, just a message there at the Pulidos podcast at gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And also another way to tell us that we're doing a good job or keep it up is giving us that 5-star rating on Apple Podcast.
Yeah.
Or if you're listening like on Spotify or like on Google that you can't really give a review there, just give us a shout out on your social media. Mm-hmm. If you don't have any social media, you could share it with some people, some friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just tell them about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as Cesar Chavez says, we need to help students and parents cherish and preserve the ethnic and cultural diversity that nourishes and strengthens this community and this nation.
See you next time. Welcome to week 4 of ASMR Napoleon Dynamite Quotes. Hey, Tina. Here's your dinner.
Okay.